You're listening to an encore presentation of The Rush with Ryan and Jay. News Talk 1010.
I don't think it's something that's going to work.
God only knows how it's going to end.
Sure, I think it's possible. Do I think that's what's going on here? Not at all.
Time to feel the rush of the round table.
Ryan and Jay on a Wednesday afternoon show that has gone completely off the rails, but why wouldn't it have?
I like
this point
it.
In time.
I like it.
Right? We've got a lot of great people to introduce, so let's get to that. Scott Reed, News Talk 1010 political analyst, is here. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Taking us straight off the rails, into the ditch.
We are in the ditch already.
Down the road.
You're going to have to try
hill.
To get us out of this.
No, that's not my job.
Scott Young is here, Director of Ideas and Insights at the Institute for Canadian Citizenship. Great to see you.
Happy to be here.
And John Paul, the host of The Poll Position. Hello, John.
I have now changed my name to Scott Paul, just to get the trifecta.
That's cool.
Awesome. Scott 1, yeah. Scott 2, Scott 3.
There you go. I like it.
My old boss used to be my business partner, Scott Feschuk, yep. Right? My old boss, Prime Minister Martin, when we both worked for him, he used to say, I have a fat Scott and a fatter Scott. That's how he referred to it.
Oh, wow. I'm not going to ask which one you were.
That's great.
I can only guess.
The government pick up the tab for your therapy? Yep. All right, right out of the gates. Many of Toronto's workers managing to escape the summer's sweltering heat inside air-conditioned offices. But outdoor workers, no such option for them. Experts are warning there are very few protections in place to keep them safe. And many delivery companies are doing little to help their employees during extreme weather events and have no legal obligation to do so. Feels like a strange story to talk about considering people have been working outside since the dawn of time. But food delivery people seem to be taking an issue with it today, John. And as the summer gets hotter, do we need to have outside workers laboring in the heat? Should there be a max temperature where you just get sent home no matter what it is you do outside?
I think there should be. I spent a couple summers, I guess three or four summers now that I think about it, working construction every summer. And it does get swelteringly hot, not on many days in Canada, but it seems like we're getting more and more of those sorts of days. And the great thing about this is there's many templates we could follow. For example, I'm sure in Atlanta and I'm sure in Florida and other parts like that, they have rules for working in the heat. So I think we should look at the temperatures that they have in place and put the similar ones here. I never ever thought about delivery companies, though. That never entered my mind. And that's 100%. Someone who has to drop off, 500 2x4s or drop off couches or whatever. Like that's a lot of heat to endure, especially on these super hot days.
Wait a minute. I thought these were food delivery.
They
companies.
Were food delivery people that are making sort of the...
Okay.
That are making
yeah, but there's other delivery guys too.
There are other delivery guys, and sure, but you know what, Scott Young will ask you the exact same question. We've got people working in bakeries, people working inside kitchens. Is this not the same for everybody?
John, I don't know where you get your food, but my Uber Eats can't deliver 500 2x4s. This is a no-brainer for me. No one deserves an unsafe workplace. If you work inside, you deserve a safe workplace. If you work outside, you also deserve a safe workplace. This is also not a new problem, right? We are not the warmest place on the planet, so... I don't see why we shouldn't adapt, because heat waves are not going anywhere.
Yeah, it's true. Scott?
I agree with all that. And like John, like the un-Scott, I also used to work construction. And we had we did two things to try to mitigate days like this, right? And in Canada, it's like 3-4 weeks a year, right?
Yeah.
And what we would do is when we would have to shingle, we would start at 6 in the morning, we would end at 2, right? Which was great for the beer store, because it meant that from, basically 2 o'clock on, we were their best and constant customers. And the other thing that we would do is that we would we'd move our jobs around, right? So you wouldn't subject the same crew to all that stuff. So I think that, you got to put rules in place, but also, you got to use some common sense. Here's the thing. In a city like ours, I bet you can't start shingling at 6 o'clock in the morning, because there probably are
bylaws,
regulations
and
bylaws and, yeah. that don't permit you to begin working until 8 or 9 o'clock.
Yeah, I know. I'm seeing guys on roofs at 7 o'clock in the morning for sure. I think they're just being quiet about it.
Maybe you have to relax that stuff, for those periods. Maybe it's all taking a look at it.
Halton police are rolling out side cameras on cruisers. Move the Force says will help nab distracted drivers on the region's roads. They're going to have these little cameras. They'll be able to see whether or not you're texting and driving, distracted driving, looking at your phone, going on social media, what have you. A lot of this will be used in an evidentiary role, where if an officer says, yeah, you were distracted driving, here's the video of it. I don't have a problem with this, Scott Young. Do you?
How about you don't text and drive? Like, let's start there. We are really bad. Humans are bad at multitasking. So if you want to post on Instagram while you're driving, then so be it, if you get a fine.
Scott Reed, I don't have much of an issue with the privacy part of this either. if you're out there on a public roadway, I don't think you're entitled to that much privacy.
No, I don't have a problem with the privacy. And yes, I agree with Scott, my cousin Scott, on the point of, look, you know, just don't text and drive, right? And that's something I had to learn, right? Because when, you know.
You've been dinged?
No, I just had to learn it because it was a habit. Like when, you know, when the issue began, you know, it wasn't like, it took a while for people to go, hey, this is a problem, man. This is worse than drinking. This is a bad thing. So it took me a while to say, you know what? I shouldn't be doing this. And I got to figure all that out. That being said, I think it's cheating. I think
what's cheating? The cameras?
Yeah, I think it's the cops cheating. It's kind of like photo radar, right? Like, I feel like, you know what, copper, investigate me, do some good old-fashioned work, track me down, catch me in the act.
Spend a whole bunch of government money.
I don't think you should, it's, you know, I don't know. It feels like cheating.
John, do you agree?
Look, it is cheating, and then that's the way technology is. It makes things a lot simpler. I don't have an issue with it as long as there are clear, defined rules. Like, there should be no gray area. It should be the camera clearly caught a cell phone in a hand or a Big Mac in the hand or whatever it is. There shouldn't be any room for saying, well, no, that was my arm. Or as long as it's the rules are set out clearly, I don't have an issue with it because here's the reality. The reality is when you see a cop car in your mirror or in your vision, you usually start to act properly. So if you get caught by this, it means you're really not paying attention or you're really dumb. And I'm okay with finding both of those.
I can't help but picture after John was saying that, a Big Mac in one hand and the phone in the other. Someone's just driving with their knees. On Garbage Day, guys, things are looking a little bit different in a certain part of our city that's now part of a pilot project where there are brown bins for yard waste. That's
pilot
right.
Project.
Oh, yes.
Those are just permanent projects.
That is just code. So you got your blue bin now, you got your green bin, you got your black garbage bin, and you got your brown bin. So it's bins for everybody. Scott Young, is this something you think the city needs? Do we need yet another bin, or should we stay with the bag?
I don't really have a problem with it. I think if you look at places like Scandinavia, in a single bin, they make you put it in six different compartments within that single bin. We want to segregate our waste. It's easier to recycle. It's better for the environment if we are putting different things in different bins. So,
how big is that bin in Scandinavia? It must be massive.
Biggest bin you've ever seen.
It's like the construction bins they drop on your front lawn.
It's not a bad idea, though. Now, no. When he says that, I think,
Yeah, as long as you could actually, you know, John Paul, as long as you could actually, you know, wheel it to the curb.
Yeah, are these like the blue bin size or bigger than that?
A regular bin size.
Regular bin size.
And six small mini compartments.
How many bins do you have, Paul?
Oh, for recycling in my family?
Yeah.
I bet you we have five in the garage. So while I hate change, I like this idea because I hate the deal with the plastic, the bags.
You have five extra large bins in your house?
No, the regular ones.
Oh, like why don't you get a couple of the extra large ones?
Where I live, they don't do the big extra ones. You got to have the little ones. So I tricked them because I get five. So they still do the work. They do more work. But I don't want more bins, but this is more efficient. So I'll go with it.
Scott Reed?
I'm on it. I'm all over it. I was doing this morning at like 7 o'clock this morning. I was trying to clean up. I was clipping the hedge, and then I was raking some stuff.
Hedge at 7 a.m.
I was. I'm an early riser. I want to
get the hedge and breaking stuff.
I had to work. I had some work to do. I had to get the hedge. I had to go for a run and get the hedge out of the way first thing in the morning. There you go. There's
too early for you to
little insight into that. And then I was shingling. I'm a man in full, I'll tell you. And so I'm out there, and then you got to like stick it in those stupid bags, and then it's like, oh, rats. There might be a thunderstorm according to the weather app at 3:30 in the afternoon. And then my bags fall apart. Then the guy says, you know what? Your bags have fallen apart. I'm not taking them. So then crud just sits there and deteriorates until I get off my ass and put it in a new bag. It's a really hard job. So, Ben, I like the bin.
I actually had to call the 1-800-GOT-JUNK, and I'll give them a plug for that because my bags had broken because there was a leak in the back of the garage. So there was soil everywhere, grass everywhere. I had to scoop it all up, get it, and they came and just took everything, just the whole ball of wax. So there you go, 1-800. That is not the most fascinating story I've ever told, but it's
like the laziest story I've ever heard.
I did nothing. They hauled my family away. Now it's quiet and happy.
It's fantastic. It only cost me a couple $100. There you go.
Broke, so I had
Scott Reed did an Iron Man this morning, and you called a guy.
I called a guy.
Yeah.
That's pretty much how that rolls. Warren Buffett is out with some advice, because that's what rich people do. He says you need to start talking to your kids about money management from 3 years old. He says that when you talk about the biggest mistake parents make when teaching their kids about money, it's that sometimes parents wait until their kids are in their teens before they start having that talk about managing money when they could be starting to talk to their kids in preschool. Scott Young, any any reservations about having this chat this young?
Yeah, I'm not a parent, so I'm not about to tell other parents how to parent their children. But three seems.
I made
young.
A whole radio career out of it. It was real.
Yeah, it was great. Didn't bug any of us.
Three sounds young, but I think the point in Warren Buffett's thing was being a teenager is too old. So there's a magic number in between those two ages that you can probably start at. But then I'm not a parent.
Yeah, John Paul, it's interesting, though. They talk about the science behind a kid's brain development. A lot of it happens, 80% happens before the age of three. And, you know, as much as it might come as a shock to parents, the concepts are there. The kids understand the concepts of finance. We just don't teach them it.
Yeah, I don't think Warren Buffett's suggesting we're getting them to buy low, sell high, learn compound interest. But at three, you can definitely teach your children that money exists and it's not just a video game machine you put a card into and free money comes out. Like, you can teach them some very basic things. And as they are interested or as conversations come up in the household, I think every opportunity you have to teach a child, doesn't matter what age, a segment of money is good. And way too many parents don't do it. There's a lot of times people speak that are super rich that I don't listen to, but Warren Buffett, when it comes to money, he's a guy I'm always going to listen to. And I think he's 100% right. I don't think there's ever a problem teaching your kids about money. And the more they grasp it, teach them even more.
Scott, it's interesting because my little one's got a, and, you know, she's under the age of two. She's got a little cash register. Yeah. She's got groceries. We kind of play the grocery store game. She gets the concepts of it. There's an opportunity right there.
Absolutely. And that that was going to be what I was going to say, which Sorry. Is in my experience as a parent. So thanks a lot. But in my experience as a parent, it happens naturally. And it actually happens at that age because they start to express an interest in, well, what is money? And why do I have coins in this thing? Or let's play with the toy cash register. And you start to work out the concepts. And, you know, as John says, not all of them learn how to, like, you know, buy low and sell high, but some of them do say, hey, Dad, you know, let's form a conglomerate of, you know, seriously, like, asymmetric companies that are all routinely undervalued, and then we're going to cash out.
Me, the teddy bear, and the bunny.
I'm like, five-year-old, I love you. Yeah. But, you know, my teenagers are worse with their money, I would say, than my six-year-old.
Wow.
In all honesty.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
My six-year-old has gotten the concept of money and is determined to turn it into more money. And I bet that will stick with him.
That's great. That's
smart stuff.
All right, quickly, the internet losing its mind over a couple who don't sleep on the same side of the bed every night. Reported the Washington Post says it's a couple that he knows personally, and he says they do something that can only be described as straight-up psychopathic behavior. Several months ago, a couple we're friends with said they don't sleep on the same side of the bed every night, as in every night when they get into bed, they don't know who's going to sleep on which side. It's a dealer's choice, Scott.
What I want to know is how they decide. Is it a race? Is it that there's a preferred side to the bed that somebody really wants and they get there first?
Do they just flop?
Yeah, like the decision on how to get there, I can't figure that out.
Scott Reed, it's interesting, though, because I think I subscribe to this. You have to have a side of the bed. You stick to it. You're at a cottage. You're on vacation. That's your side of the bed. There's no questions asked.
I think the story's a hoax. I don't even Thank it's you. Not it's not even
Bigfoot.
That these people must be psycho. It's that I don't believe it. It's inhuman. It's not according to nature. So I don't believe it's true. There are no couples who don't have a side of the bed. And if this is true, then these people should be imprisoned because they're a threat to everyone.
John Paul, we were talking about it earlier. A lot of people said you don't share a toothbrush with somebody. You got a lot of stuff on your night tables. You can't make a switch like this.
I've heard of a lot of weird things in bedrooms. Mirrors on ceilings, swing chairs,
not even
vibrating
weird.
Beds, all these crazy things. All these crazy things, none of them shocked me. This shocked me, because I don't believe if other women are like my wife, my wife would kill me if I took her side of the bed. So either, I think Scott's right, both Scott's in that fact. Look, the reality is these people are psychopaths.
Okay.
We got to look in their basement, probably also in their freezer.
Okay.
There are body
parts.
Sean
Paul, we'll talk to you a little later on. Scott Young, Scott Reed, thank you so much.